I feel the presence of the Lord moving still. There's a song that we sang many years ago. I don't even know, where did you find this song?
Well, this song actually was recorded many years ago by a young man named Benny Hester. And I begged these guys to do this song for two or three albums. And like knuckleheads, they wouldn't listen to me. But this song has a tremendous, powerful message. And I've known people that thought somehow they had walked beyond God's grace. It's a wonderful thing to know that He reaches us no matter where we go, and His love reaches for us. His hand is extended. And I want you to listen to the words of this song tonight. If you maybe walked into this building and feel a long ways from your Heavenly Father.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw Him run was when He ran to me. He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in His voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken His heart. And I wondered then if things could ever be the same.
Then one night
I remembered His love for me. And so down the dusty road ahead I could see, it was the only time, it was the only time I ever saw Him run. And then He ran to me, He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, and said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wipe the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in His voice. I feel so sad. Do you know I still love you?
He caught me by surprise.
Yes, He did.
And He brought me to my knees when God ran.
I saw Him run to me. So far away, but now I know He's been waiting for this day. I saw Him run to me, He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, and said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in His voice. I felt His love for me again. He ran to me, He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, and said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in His voice. He said, "Son,
I want you to reach over right now to the person who's next to you, and I want you to take them by the hand, if you could do that. Because the three of us are pastors and ministers, and we recognize when the Holy Spirit is moving in an audience. And in an audience of this size, we know that there are people here, that song was just for you. And I don't know if you even know the person whose hand you're holding right now, but I want you to pray for them like it was your own kin. I want you to pray for them like it's your prayer. That's the only prayer that's going to help them to reach up and touch the hem of a merciful Savior. Would you pray for the person whose hand you're holding? And those of you watching on this DVD, you may be in a lonely bedroom somewhere, hotel room. You may be on a plane watching this on your DVD player. The Spirit of the Lord is coming to you right now. It is not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance, to be joined together. In the name of Jesus.
You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Hello. Welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White, here with our Father's Day message today. So glad to see everyone back again today. We are starting, as of today, broadcasting on our website and not going through Facebook Live or YouTube now. Too many technical issues, too many glitches, too many times that it got stopped for no reason. So we're doing this so we can better control it. Anyway, more on that later. Check our website, aulc.us, for more information. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll open our service. If you'll join me, please. Heavenly Father, we come again today on this Father's Day that we celebrate fathers everywhere, and we particularly celebrate You being our Heavenly Father, and we just thank You that we can come together, even though we're remote, we're over the internet, we are socially distanced, just whatever the fact is, we're here today. And we're asking that You will be here to celebrate with us today as we praise and worship You. We just ask, Lord, that each and every person that watches this, whether it's the live broadcast, whether it's a recording later, that they get something out of it, Lord, that maybe they needed to hear. Maybe they've heard it before. In any case, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what You have to say to us today. We ask this in Your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, today being Father's Day, we are going to go into our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. That's Luke 15, 11 to 32. Starting at verse 11, He also said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me.' So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands.' So he got up, went to his father, but while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and did not want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. Well, once again, welcome to our service. Happy Father's Day to all dads out there. And I hope we're doing well on this Father's Day. It's kind of different because of the fact that with COVID-19, we're not able to get together. We're not able to go to our churches sometimes. We're not able to even go to restaurants. There are things we can't do that we're used to doing on Father's Day. Now, sometime back, I came across one of those top 10 lists that David Letterman likes to read on The Late Show. This particular one was called The Top 10 Things You'll Never Hear a Dad Say. So I figured, since this is Father's Day, it might be good to read it this morning. So here we go. 10 things you've never heard come out of your father's mouth. Number 10. Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like I'll have to stop and ask directions. Number 9. You know, Pumpkin, now that you're 13, you're ready for unchaperoned car dates. Won't that be fun? Number 8. I noticed that all your friends seem to have a certain up yours attitude. I really like that. Number 7. Here's a credit card and the keys to my new car. Go crazy. Number 6. What do you mean you want to play football? Figure skating's just not good enough for you, son? Number 5. Your mother and I are going away for the weekend, so you might want to consider throwing a party. Number 4. Well, I don't know what's wrong with your car. Probably one of those doohickey thingies, you know, that makes it run or something. You just have to have it towed to a mechanic and pay whatever he asks. Number 3. Now listen. No son of mine is going to live under this roof without an earring, so quit your belly aching. Let's go to the mall. Number 2. What do you want to go out and get a job for? I have plenty of money for you to spend. And the number 1 thing that you've never heard your father say, would you mind turning up that music just a little bit more? Yeah, I didn't think so. Now, Father's Day can bring up some memories and feelings for all of us. For people that grew up in homes touched by alcoholism or drug addiction, the memories aren't always happy. I heard a story of a priest who served many years as a chaplain in a large state prison. And he tells the story of how during his first year there, when Mother's Day came around in early May, he was overwhelmed with requests from the prisoners for Mother's Day cards for the men to send back home. He gave out boxes and boxes of them, but he never seemed to have enough to meet all the demand. And so the priest said to himself, next time, he wasn't going to be caught short. And so the very next month, when Father's Day rolled around, he stocked up on lots and lots of cards. But he was shocked at what happened next, because almost none of the men asked for them. This time he was left with boxes and boxes of unused cards. When he asked one of the other chaplains why nobody wanted the cards, the other chaplain told him, says, welcome to prison. Most of these men never knew their fathers, and a lot of the ones who do would just as soon forget them. You see, Father's Day can bring up memories and feelings that a lot of people would just as soon forget. And like our kid in today's gospel. Many can't wait to get away from home, and most plan to never go back ever again. Now, this morning's gospel is one that we read here, and it's done two or three times a year. We read it so often because it's one story in all of scriptures that I wish we could really take in and just let it change us. But then we've got this one story here. And maybe it's especially important for those of us who've had our God images damaged by our past. Because this father that Jesus describes in our story today is so unlike any that we ever knew growing up. Now, Jesus tells us the story because he's been asked by the righteous, church-going people in his town, why is he hanging out with the people that's considered the low-life scum of the community? Why is he palling around with prostitutes and taking up with tax collectors? And why is he healing lepers and helping out the so-called losers in the town? And what's the deal, Jesus? You're supposed to be a holy man. You're supposed to be a prophet. Don't you know who these people are? And so it's in this context that Jesus tells them this story today, this parable, this teaching story. Now, it would be impossible, would it not, to think of Jesus' father without considering this parable. In reality, however, the parable is misnamed. It shouldn't be called the parable of the prodigal son because the son is not at the center of the story. The father is. Webster's dictionary defines the word prodigal as exceedingly or recklessly wasteful or extremely generous and lavish. Now, if anyone in this story is prodigal, it's got to be the father. He never, ever gives up on his son. He loves him no matter what the son can do. And regardless of how disrespectfully he's treated, his son is his son, and nothing can ever change that. So, he is a prodigal father. It's Jesus explaining to the church people of his day exactly what he's doing, because what he was doing wasn't what any of them were doing. According to Jesus, he's doing exactly what God, the God of his understanding, is always doing. He's loving his kids unconditionally. He's loving them in ways that absolutely blow away all the old ideas about who God is and how God works in our lives. The big book says many of us tried to hold on to our ideas and the results were nil until we let them go absolutely. In our story this morning, Jesus is saying we've got some old ideas about God, and he wants to open our eyes and help us see a very different image of God that he knew so very well. Jesus called his God his Abba, which translates as his papa or his daddy. The holy people were all shocked, and if I've learned anything from staying sober all my years, it's this. If the God of Jesus doesn't come to me as a total shock, then I haven't really heard what Jesus really said, and I'm still stuck with some of my old ideas. Now, there's a very famous painting that represents our gospel story today. The painting I'm referring to is called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It was done almost 400 years ago by Rembrandt. It's considered one of his greatest works. The painting is the artist's understanding of this gospel scene where the prodigal son finally comes to his senses and he returns back home to his father. Now, I don't know if you can see it on the small picture or not. Probably not. But there are two things about the father that the artist painted into the scene that most people can very easily miss. The first has to do the way he painted the father's eyes, because according to the artist, the father is blind. In Rembrandt's imagination, the father doesn't even have any eyes to see any or all of the terrible things that his son has done to him. All this father does is love. He loves his son, and even when he spits in his face by asking about his inheritance. You see, back then in the first century, you don't get your inheritance until your father's dead. Drop dead is what the son is saying here. Drop dead, Dad, so I can legally get what's coming to me. Even the father is blind to that. He's blind to the insult that the son has given him. He simply keeps on loving. And instead of giving back, giving him the back of his hand, he gives the boy exactly what he asked for. And just like so many of us, the kid takes the money and goes right out and blows it. He probably took it and partied hardy, because that money was gone really fast. It was gone in a hurry. And so the kid winds up living with the pigs. Now, we all have our pig stories, don't we? Now, one thing Jesus' parable here of the prodigal reveals is that the young son obviously did not know his father very well. Therefore, he didn't trust him. After losing all that he had and determining that he would return, he was willing to do so as a lowly servant. He was able to entrust himself eventually to his father's care as a son only because his father had let him know again and again that such a relationship was possible. But being a little con artist he is, he's still trying to manipulate his old man. He says, I've got this plan. I'm going to tell my father that I don't deserve to be called his son. I'll play on his mercy. I'll ask him to take in and treat me like one of the servants. At least I'll get myself 3 hots and a cot. I've been there and done that. But the old man seems blind to that too. And maybe, in this case, love really is blind. All this loving father can do is throw his arms around his son. And instead of treating him like a servant, which was the son's plan, he treats him like royalty. That's God's plan. He puts rings on his fingers and a robe on his back, and he showers him with kisses and presses him close to his heart. And there's something else about this painting that's puzzled people for centuries. It's the way the artist depicts the father's two hands. Hands that are holding on to his wayward son. And for some reason, Rembrandt's painted each one of the father's hands very differently. One hand is very clearly the hand of a man. The other is just as clearly the hand of a woman. Rembrandt's saying something very powerful here about the God of his understanding and about how it is that God loves us. He seems to be saying that God loves us both as a father loves us and as a mother loves us too. The father is strong, and that's the male hand that's supporting his son. It's holding him up so he doesn't fall again. It's the hand that's encouraging him and blessing him. He's passing on his energy to the next generation. So this son of his will be strong enough someday to pass it on to his son too. If we've missed receiving these things from our fathers, the good news is it's never too late to get them. God makes that possible. And maybe the bigger the father hole that we have inside our souls, the more open we will be to letting God come and fill it, and the more grateful we'll be to receive it. But the other hand, while all this is going on, then with his other hand, the female side, this father's also gently hugging his son's neck. He's embracing him, much as a mother would hug her own child. The father isn't afraid to show love. He's not afraid to make himself vulnerable. He isn't afraid to cry or to open his heart. And we need that from our fathers, and we need that from God as well. The scriptures tell us that we're each wonderfully made, that they say that we're made in the very image and likeness of God. And because we reflect him and who he is, then God must be male, and God must be female too. So we have a God who is both strong and tender, a God who's full of power and might, but also one who's full of love and compassion. If our God is the only one and not the other, then we're still holding on to our old ideas and we're missing out on the real thing. I want to close now with another list I came across not too long ago. It's a collection of scripture passages that were put together to make up an imaginary Father's Day card from our God. our Heavenly Father. Someone gathered up one-liners from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, and they strung them all together. And if you listen to them carefully, I think you'll hear the two sides of God like Rembrandt saw them. Maybe it's a unisex card this priest in prison that I talked about earlier could use on Mother's Day and Father's Day, too. It reads like this. It starts out, "My child." And then from Psalm 139:1, it says, "You may not know me, but I know everything about you." And Psalm 139:2 says, "I know when you sit down and when you rise up." And from Psalm 139:3, "I am familiar with all your ways." In Matthew 10:29-31, it says, "Even the very hairs on your head I've numbered." In Genesis 1:27, it says, "For you were made in my own image." In Acts 17:28, "In me you live and move and have your being." In Acts 17:28, again it says, "You are my child." In Jeremiah 1:4-5, "I knew you even before you were conceived." In Ephesians 1:11-12, "I chose you when I planned creation." In Psalms 139:15-16, "You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book." In Acts 17:26, "I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live." In 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, "I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles." In Psalm 34:18, "When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you." In Isaiah 40:11, "As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart." In Revelation 21:3-4, "One day I'll wipe away every tear from your eyes." In Revelation 21:3-4 again, "And I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth." In John 17:23, "I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus." In Luke 15:7, "Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen." In Ephesians 3:14-15, "I have always been Father and will be Father." In John 1:12-13, "My question is, will you be my child?" In Luke 15:11-32, "I am waiting for you." And in Luke 15:7, "Come home." Signed, "With everlasting love, your dad." Now let me read that without all of the side notes. It starts out, "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head I've numbered, for you were made in my own image. In me you live and move and have your being. You are my child. I knew you before you were even conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. Come home and I'll throw you the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been your Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Come home. Signed, with love everlasting, your dad. As I close today, here's the story behind Faith of Our Fathers. It starts off, "Faith of Our Fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word." This hymn was written by Frederick Faber in the 19th century, and obviously it has to do with Christians suffering persecution and the inspiration with their heroic witness gave to their fellow Christians. Indeed, we're always inspired by stories of Christians who maintain their faith in the face of persecution or death. Persecution has been part of the church's life from the very beginning, and it's still part of the church's life today. We all know about the Roman persecution of Christians in the first century, but might not realize how pervasive persecution of Christians is in various countries around the world today, in China, Vietnam, Indonesia, Iran, and many other countries. We need to pray for Christians who endure persecution today, to make ourselves aware of their stories and to be inspired by their heroic witness. Let me encourage you to pray for persecuted Christians today. As a child reaches out its hand in trust to a loving Father guiding its first steps, we can reach out our hand to God. For God is our Father, and He calls to us in love. I encourage you to place your hand in the hand of God. His hand will not be without scars, but with it, He will tenderly accept you. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's week, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Be sure to stick around for a few more minutes to hear Bing Crosby sing Faith of Our Fathers. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the words today. They bring special meaning, especially on Father's Day like this, and knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and knowing how you will treat us just gives us the hope and the expectation of coming and meeting with you one day. We ask that you continue to bless us and keep us, Lord. Put a safe hedge around us. Protect us from COVID-19 and other illnesses, other dangers, and just be with us each and every day, leading us and guiding us. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and we hope to see you all next week. Thank you.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word.
Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Our fathers chained in dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Kindly word.